From New Orleans, Louisiana, it's Ampericle's Power Tech Podcast. This is the place where we talk about bringing technology to the power industry. Our goal is to educate you on the most popular trends, bring you actionable strategies from industry thought leaders, and help you make sure your utility is prepared for the future. I'm your host, Matthew Sachs, president of Ampericle, former utility engineer and power industry advocate.
Welcome. My name is Kevin Johnson, Director of Business Development here at Ampericle. This episode of our Power Tech podcast is the second in a series highlighting our previously recorded webinar entitled Protection and Control Automation 2021 and Beyond. In the first session, our panelists discussed significant challenges that the electric utility faces over the next decade related to protection and control automation. In the second episode, our panelists discussed where they believe the industry is related to the acceptance of cloud computing as a technology platform for protection and control automation. Once again, I'd like to welcome back our panelists, Senior Staff Engineer with Entergy, Dr. Chan Wong, Principal with Eureka Power, Dr. Deepak Margel, Editor-in-Chief, PacWorld Magazine, Dr. Alex Apostolov, Professor, Inventor, and Author, Dr. Sakis Meliopoulos, Amazon Web Services Energy Sector, Maggie Powell, the Anfield Group in Diligent Robotics, Chris Humphreys, and Director of Cyberical Cyber Engineering, Dr. Nathan Wallace. And our moderator, President of Ampericle, Matthew Sachs.
Question two, where do you believe the industry is as it relates to the acceptance of cloud computing as a technology platform for protection and control automation? Chan, we'll start with you again.
Oh, thanks. Coming from the discussion of a cybersecurity, that's actually a good segue. So I'm a firm believer about this technology and cloud computing into protection and control. It's just my personal opinion, but it will take some time to get there as well. You know, as Nathan has mentioned, it's awareness and educational. So we need to share, you know, how does this cloud computing work in the protection and control world? And also what is the regulated, like we talk about cybersecurity. So not even getting to cloud computing, talking about just like, for example, like digitized substations only without cloud computing. A lot of my peer in different company as well is also concerned about the cybersecurity penalty, right? So there's a big risk for folks to try to implement that, and then implication, the fear of like, hey, I could be violating one of the regulation, and then it could be like $1 million per what, you know, a big number of penalty. So with the fear thing, I think a lot of folks is, at this point, I think is more like, you know, watch and see what's going on with, you know, who is doing what and whoever is doing pilot, and see what's going on with that pilot. I'm a firm believer that, you know, it's depending on time when we get there, but I think this is going to be a big challenge for people to adapt to the this kind of, you know, oh, you cannot see things in your server, everything is in the cloud, could it trip or no trip, does it really trip on time, you know, people have those kind of skepticism. I think that Alex Pro can share later on about some of the tests that did before, where tripping from US to Vienna or to Austria, they did before, is proven that it's really robust. However, I think it's the awareness and the education to tell people that, hey, look at the data, let the data speak for itself. But however, I think that it does take some time to get the culture, the team to really give it a try, start a pilot, and work together to raise the awareness to people that, hey, it's okay. But I think until we really have like solid, you know, get people confident to do that, I think it will be a challenge for now.
Sure. Deepak?
Yeah, thank you. You know, when it comes to cloud, you know, there is now a whole new definition for cloud. You know, as I see, you know, pretty much cloud has been there, you know, in some form or the other from last 20 or 30 years, as we know, back in days when we had novel network, you know, centralized system. And now, you know, very much in that, in a cloud scenario with the centralized or distributed architecture. So from a protection and control automation system, again, there are many applications that fits into cloud, especially those are monitoring applications or, you know, other, you know, sensors and other things that kind of can be very well taken advantage with existing cloud technology in IoT domain and so forth. Beyond that, for traditional, critical protection control system, that's in some ways already happening, as we see different manufacturers are doing centralized protections these days, and you know, these distributed systems and so forth, you know, multifunction devices in one box. So as we see, there's a natural progression of this technology, not only just because of you know, being, there's a lot of advantages in terms of reliability, in terms of availability, ease of configuration and management that the cloud technology will bring. I mean, I think the key part, and Alex is very active on this. So the 61850 is the central base platform to build all of these constructs on top of the existing IT technology known, you know, again, the virtualization and AWS and again, whatnot, and other cloud technologies out there. So I think in the years to come, it's very fascinating to see all of these innovations come to life. Thank you.
Alex, your thoughts on the cloud?
It depends who you are talking to, because, for example, I did a workshop maybe about 6-7 years ago at the Itaipu hydropower plant on the border between Brazil and Paraguay. And it's one of the largest hydropower plants in the world, and they have the largest open space that I've closed space that I've ever been to. It's a 1 kilometer room, and you have bicycles to go from one end to the other. So we talked about 61850 and the technology and how many things you can do with it. And to me, one of the key factors for the success of this technology is to find the crazy people, the people that are not afraid to fail, the people that are not afraid to do something different. And I was lucky to find two of these in this audience. So they came back to me and they said, can't we do this in the cloud? And I said, absolutely. So actually we did at the PacWorld conference about 6 years ago, a paper about using cloud technology for the protection of this hydropower plant. And I really believe that this is where the industry is going. But as we already were talking about, it's overcoming the fear. And when we talk about fear, I think it is very important. Fear comes from the lack of knowledge. So I think it's very important when we talk to upper management in the utilities to say, did you do your risk analysis? But when we talk about risk analysis, I believe you have to do it, look at two different risks, the risk of doing something and the risk of not doing it. And I believe the risk of not moving in the direction of digitization and centralized solutions and cloud technology is much higher if you say, okay, maybe somebody can hack in our system. And what is strange is that people are taking these risks in their everyday lives all the time, because pretty much 90% of what we do is cloud-based. But then suddenly when it becomes talking about maybe visualizing some data on a computer screen, they say, no, we cannot do that. And I'm like, guys, get real. If you do it properly, if you do your homework, and because cloud is technology, you can have a private cloud, you can have a public cloud, you can have a hybrid system. When I talk about clouds, I always like to mention there was a Rolling Stones song, Get Off My Cloud. So if you can ensure that nobody can get on your cloud, and actually it doesn't have to be a physical cloud, it can be a logical cloud, and I'm sure that Maggie can talk a lot about that, that is isolated logically from the rest of it and secure enough for you to be able to do your applications. But anyway, I should stop. I can talk a lot about that, but I really believe that this is the future.
Very good. Sakis, let's hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Excellent discussion so far. I appreciate all of this. Let me start my comments by saying that the idea of cloud is it's a fantastic idea because basically it streamlines a lot of things that we normally do in a power system. But also let me echo the fact that for people like me that worry about performance and whether we meet the specifics of the specific applications and so on, there are some issues that we have to work on. What I mean by that? Basically, there are a number of problems we're facing that they fit very well in the concept of the cloud, because basically the cloud gives you a computing power centralized somewhere. It's not really centralized, it's distributed, as Maggie is going to tell you also, of course. We can send the information there. So these problems are state estimation, by which we monitor the system. The cloud is ideal for this application. Then we operate the system under optimized conditions. So we're continuously running optimization problems that are model-based. This is an ideal application for the cloud because we can collect the data in the cloud, do the optimization, and then send the controls. Yeah? Now, from the protection and control part of the system, we have two. Typically, we do protection control in two different categories. One is we have a system that protects individual devices. Yeah? So we call it component protection and so on. And then we have system protection because we have disturbances that we need to respond to the disturbances and protect the system. Today, utilities, they have sophisticated systems, basically a parallel control center where all the data is collected and they do system protection. The cloud is ideal for that. Of course, we need to control the latencies, the time latencies, because protection is very important. But for system protection, we have a lot more time to respond and send the protection commands to the system. Then the component protection, which is today is a local system and so on, so it doesn't go through communications, or some of them, they go through dedicated communications and so on. There, the decisions have to be very fast. We're talking about less than 100 microseconds. Therefore, the cloud it has to improve to the point that the round trip will not impose latencies that will affect the local protection of the system. So to summarize, there are a lot of applications that the cloud will be ideal, and in terms of the system protection, will alleviate a lot of capital investments that the companies have to do to implement the system protection. For the component protection, we need to do a lot of more work to make the cloud very low latency system.
All right. Maggie, I'm guessing this question is of great interest to you, where our industry sits in terms of acceptance of the cloud for automation.
It is, and I appreciate a lot of the examples that have already been quoted, really, because definitely the industry really is looking to cloud computing for an ever-growing portfolio of functions and control functions, certainly among them. When it comes to the control functions, we have started talking with customers about taking that first step to really understand those operational requirements of those devices and systems involved. And this is very similar to what Sakis was talking about. The method that we have used and we've spoken a little bit about this before, but is really using like a model for industrial control systems. So the one that we speak of at times is the Purdue model. There are others out there, but those are valuable models to help understand the varying requirements across control systems, such as those latency requirements or recovery time objectives, and using that assessment to identify what is right and ripe for use of the cloud. And cloud can support very high availability systems and provide those resiliency benefits that really are unavailable on-prem. But it really is drilling down into details and understanding those requirements. I'll add another example. The others that were already stated were very good, but I'll keep building on that predictive maintenance example that I said earlier. We have one use case to share that's about a steam generator at a combined cycle plant that was experiencing frequent emergency shutdowns, and they had no time given and no ability to diagnose the issue in advance. And we did a beta test using Lookout for Equipment, and the customer was able to detect 9 out of 9 critical failures with the average lead time of 70 hours. So seeing those tangible connections to how to apply the cloud is really valuable in proving it out and fulfilling kind of those, meeting those requirements that customers require. The cloud technology, of course, continues to evolve. And so even for systems that really need to still stay in an on-prem data center or at field sites for latency or other reasons, cloud technology can already be brought to those data centers and field sites through services like ours called AWS Outposts or their IoT offerings. For example, AWS Outposts, it's ideal for substation automation, where high levels of secure compute and storage are needed to execute local analytics. So tasks like data validation, visual analytics on crew safety, phaser measurements, and those analytics, and even state estimation. They can be moved to the substations by processing that data locally. And that improves response times and minimizes the data that needs to be exchanged over field networks. Some of those protection and control systems do come under NERC-SIP compliance requirements. I'm sure Chris will probably touch on this a bit too. But one evolution we've seen in the past 6 to 8 months is NERC's receptiveness to enabling SIP standards to accommodate cloud computing. NERC has gone on record acknowledging that cloud storage of in-scope information, referred to and known as BES cyber system information, can be done compliantly, and they have issued a practice guide supporting such a use. NERC has also stated they support use of cloud for BES operating services with appropriate protections. And the work has begun to dive deeper in assessing the SIP requirements relative to those in-scope BES cyber system functions using the cloud. So work's beginning. Thanks.
Chris, your thoughts.
So echoing everything Maggie just said perfectly. So, hey, there's this new technology. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called the cloud. And, you know, we might want to start looking at how we use that. It's not that bad, but it's getting better, Maggie, to Maggie's point. It is moving at a snail's pace. We got, you know, acceptance of data in the cloud's fine. Now we're getting to services. We're getting there. But the pace just, it really is, that has been a product of people like AWS and utilities, you know, getting ahead of it and getting out there and driving the regulatory pace of this to answer this, because otherwise, you know, we would just, you know, we'd still be spinning our wheels on how do we adopt cloud and be compliant. You know, and to everything Maggie was talking about, you know, trying to be proactive. I mean, we did this over 10 years ago with rolling out GRC platforms just from a compliance administrative perspective to say, hey, guys, you've got a punitive daily penalty calculation and you've got a precedent for a previous violation. Why not automate the control in a GRC solution that implements countermeasures upon detection because of just following process automation, not any sort of technological, you know, technological advancement or any of the integrations we're talking about now, which is great. And you're still getting, you know, the big disconnect culturally between sales guys coming in and saying, I'm going to sell you the greatest things that sliced bread, and no one understanding how many people it takes to sustain and maintain and implement that solution back at your at your utility and they end up dying on the vine, technology ends up failing so much because there's this huge disconnect between compliance, what you can do, what you can roll out, and what the sales and everybody else sets expectation-wise for the care and maintenance and support for that solution at the client side. Because without that support, it's gonna be shelfware, and you know, people are gonna say, yeah, we tried that, and it was garbage. Well, it wasn't garbage because the technology sucked. It was garbage because no one understood everything that's involved in making that technology a success. So I'm happy to see cloud is getting there. It's getting there slowly but surely, and we're making some progress, and I'll take any progress at this point. But to the level of control, industrial control system automation, and the things we're talking about here, we got a long way to go, but we need to kind of pull the regulators along and speak at a third grade level so they can get it. I hate to be that way, but that's just really, you don't have the engineers and security experts that we have in our space doing the day-to-day operation of this stuff, writing these standards. You just don't. And we just need to have that practical sort of, not be condescending or, you know, whatever, but you have to have this collaborative mindset to get those standards baseline to where everybody gets it. And I think we're getting there, but it definitely needs to move faster, especially as other technologies continue to pick up in pace. Cloud's though the perfect example.
Nathan, cloud computing, protection and control.
Yeah. So right now, I think the industry across the board, you know, generation, transmission, distribution, and even, you know, the residential DER, the residential distributed energy resources, are starting to use the cloud more. This is mostly for monitoring, you know, kind of offloading some of that historical data, using the computational power of the cloud, like Maggie mentioned, you know, power system modeling, power flow analysis. You know, that type of monitoring, it is starting to be used, right? Predictive analytics, predictive maintenance, from what I've seen, it is starting to be used. But yeah, as far as the control, not so much. But when you really start looking at what's being sold at the residential level, right? Consumer electronics, residential level, for things that are specific to our industry, like the power monitoring of your home, being able to pull up your phone and see, oh, my living room is consuming this much power. You know, my solar panel is generating this much. And not to name drop any, you know, vendor, but there is this battery pack, you know, that delivers power that sits up on the wall that, you know, you can control from your app on the phone, right? So, you know, that is being facilitated at the residential and even some of the building commercial level for buildings via the cloud. And that is both monitoring and control. And I know a number of the folks on the call, you know, when we're talking about cloud adoption, a lot of us tend to go to, you know, bulk transmission, bulk power system. But if you think, you know, the end consumer, they're already using the cloud for power. And if as an industry, if we want to take part in these bi-directional kind of power flows and taking advantage, and Maggie, right, the D as far as decarbonization, we are going to have to leverage the cloud more, but we're already using it for monitoring, a lot of value, predictive maintenance, predictive analytics, you know, taking the past year as an example, the value and benefits of, you know, being able to safely work from remote, but yet still share common data sets and common information and leveraging the benefit of the cloud to do that, right? But honestly, you know, projecting way, way, way out, I think as far as protection and control for the station, some of that can be offloaded. But I think honestly, there will always need to be computational logic being executed on some device at the grid edge. You know, if you think about all the transients, you know, fault detection, we need the ability to have fast operation and analysis at the grid edge node. But of course, supported and maybe even augmented by some of these benefits of the cloud.
Today, you heard from leading subject matter professionals regarding the acceptance of cloud computing as a technology platform for protection and control automation. Be on the lookout for our next episode, where our guest will discuss the impact of IEC 61850 on the digitalization of the electric power grid and its protection, automation, and control.
Well, that about wraps up this edition of the PowerTech Podcast. If you haven't yet, Please log in to wherever you subscribe to the podcast and both rate this show and leave a comment, as that really helps new subscribers in the power industry to find us. Also, for more free insights on bringing technology to the power industry, make sure to visit ampirical.com. We post free white papers, articles, and all of our previous podcasts there. Plus, you can register for a free 3D strategy planning session call with one of our 3D planning specialists. Again, you can do all of that and much more at ampirical.com. Please stay tuned and join us for the next episode of the Power Tech Podcast. And until next time, keep engineering powerful solutions.